Acts chapter 2. I'm going to preach on something I don't think that I've heard a message on before. If I have, I was not paying attention. But I think it's an interesting subject. And by all means, this is not an exhaustive message on it. Acts chapter 2. Let's pray, and then we'll read there. Father, thank you for drawing us in here tonight. And again, we want to thank you for blessing this morning with the good group of folks that were here and with your spirit and the way you blessed and the gospel went out. And pray that your word would stick in their hearts, Lord, those that were lost, and that they would understand their need of a Savior. And please come in tonight, Lord, bless both in the message here and in the fellowship to follow. In Jesus' name, amen. Acts chapter 2. Let's look down at verse 42. Well, look at verse 41. Acts 2:41. It says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." Now, this is kind of as the New Testament church is starting to form. And these are people that are hearing the word, they're believing, they're trusting Christ, they're added to the church, to the body of Christ, the body of believers, and the local church there. And it says in verse 42, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine," so in preaching and teaching the Bible, "and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and prayers." Well, that's what we're kind of doing tonight, is fellowshipping. But sometimes you say, well, what is fellowship? Because I've heard people say, well, it's hard to fellowship in 45 minutes at church. Okay, it's a valid point. And I'll talk about that a little bit tonight. But the word fellowship, interesting, only shows up 16 times in the Bible. And it always shows up as a noun. It's never a verb in the Bible. And I know we use the word, we're fellowshipping and things like that, but that's not the way the Bible uses it. Fellowship is always something you can have, but it's never something you do in the Bible. So interesting. Now, of those 16 times it shows up in the Bible, only twice does it show up in the Old Testament. So it's predominantly a New Testament thing that Christians do. So we're just going to look at a handful of things tonight, just get some thoughts on fellowship, what it is, you know, how do we do it, how can we do it better, maybe, by the grace of God. So turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. You're in Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, in chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Now, this is one of those things that when you talk about Christians or churches or a group of friends that it's expected of you to do, right? You're supposed to fellowship. But does anybody ever teach us, okay, what is fellowship? How do we fellowship? What am I even supposed to do? Is it something that just, you know, does it come naturally? This is fellowship, okay. But really, there is something to it. There's things that we should fellowship with and things that we should not fellowship with. The Bible covers those. So it gives some parameters of fellowship. Now, Ephesians chapter 3, I want you to look at verse 9. Ephesians 3:9, it says, "And to make all men see," this is Paul speaking, "what is the fellowship of the mystery." So this is kind of just in general, but the fellowship of the mystery. There's some things fellowship has to do, you hear that fellow, has to do with things in common. And Paul says, "The fellowship," verse 9, "of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." The Bible says, can two walk together except they what? Be agreed. You have to have something in common, first of all, for fellowship to take place at all. Now, let's look at the negative side of it. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll begin here so we can end on a positive note. 1 Corinthians, back just a bit, a few books there to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. People can, and if I can say it this way, people can sometimes get caught up in saying we need to fellowship, using it as a verb. But remember, the Bible doesn't ever use it as a verb. Fellowship is something that happens that we can have, but it's not something we do. That tells me it's not something to be forced. It should happen naturally or organically or however you want to say that. It should come just as a result of those things that we have in common. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and look at verse 20. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 20. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils. Now he's talking about idolatry in the verses just before this. He said they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And then he says, and I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. The implication is that you can have something in common with that idolatry, with devil worship, with devils. And he said, hey, he's speaking to the Corinthian church. He's speaking to Christians. He said, that's not something you should have fellowship with. So when we talk about fellowship, we automatically think about Christian fellowship. But there's wrong kinds of fellowship and right kinds of fellowship. And he said that I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. So it is a possibility. Turn over to Philippians. Philippians, or actually, look at 2 Corinthians first. 2 Corinthians in chapter 6. Now this is a pretty common verse. We quote it often. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And look at verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship, there's our word, hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Now, a lot of times we use this in the sense of, you know, who you marry, that you shouldn't marry a lost person. He's saying, what fellowship hath, unrighteousness with righteousness, or darkness with light? And he gives the comparisons there in the following verses. Now, listen, I know. You say, but not all Christians are that great of people. I understand that. And there's probably people out there that are not Christians, you say, that are better people than Christians I know. I agree. And that's not the way it should be. And I understand that's the way it is, but he said you shouldn't. You should endeavor. So find a Christian who's a good Christian. That's what you ought to look for. Just being a Christian, okay, that's a good prerequisite, but you need to find a good one, because they're not all, not all Christians are created equal, if I can put it that way. But he says here, now this is not, we use that in marriage, but this is just in general. He said, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? He said, even in your business dealings or whatever it might be. Now, does that mean you can't be friends with them? No, it doesn't mean that. Because the Bible says even Jesus Christ was a friend of publicans and sinners. The common people heard him gladly. Christ hung out with the non-religious crowd. Typically, that's who he hung around with. I know there was a few cases where he did go into the Pharisee's house and things like that. But Christ was a friend of publicans and sinners. So fellowship doesn't just mean friendship. It's a little bit of a closer relationship with that. And he says to not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Galatians, then Ephesians, in chapter 5. Not a long message tonight, but I thought it was interesting. Because again, I don't recall, anyway, ever hearing a message on a fellowship. And so I started researching it, since we're kind of, doing this new thing on the fifth Sundays. The next one's in June, and then in September, and then in December. So at the end of each quarter, that's something we can look forward to. Now look, if we want to do it more often, hey, we can. Just see how it goes and see what happens and all of that. But because we're doing this, I started thinking about fellowship. And, people have talked to me about it and doing things and, something for, younger people or just people in general, that we need to get together more. And this isn't a slam or a slur against anybody, but I remember years ago, and this is not all the good old days, but I remember years ago when I first moved here in 1991. So I moved here in September of 91. That it was pretty common, at least almost on a weekly basis, that people would go to different people's houses for game nights. Now, I know you maybe still do that, or you get together with your crowd, but it seems like, as you get older, the first mark against you is you get married. Now, this row, the second row, used to be the singles row. How many of you remember that? So there's me and Cassie when we were still single. There was Jamie and Lenny and John Wilhelm. And man, there was a crowd of single people, and then you get married and all of a sudden you're not popular with the singles anymore. But really, you're not quite into the married crowds yet because you don't have kids. And when you have kids, man, that is like taboo. You don't get invited to anything once you have kids. And I kind of understand that, because you're like, I don't want so-and-so over at our house because their kids will destroy our house. Yeah, I know, but lock some doors and just have grace, okay? You say, why? Because we're a church family. And what do families do? Do you lock your kids up all the time? Well, I hope not, okay? That's not what you should do. But you're like, you live with it. Things happen. I get it. I understand. But, we watch out for one another. It's kind of the way we need to be and kind of include everybody. Kids shouldn't be an automatic taboo, even though they kind of work out that way. But look, if you're going to get married, you're going to have kids, everybody's going to go through it. You're going to be on the taboo list eventually at some point. But you see it all the time. But anyway, back to my point. Years ago, there used to be game nights, usually at Joe and Linda's and some other people's houses. It was a good time. And there was, I think there was people there with kids, but I was young and single, so I didn't notice anything. Well, not necessarily anything. I did get married, so I noticed a few things. But but listen, it was a good time. And it was fellowship. We'd get together around food. I remember Steve and Tiffany Ryan used to come. Ty and Martha, when they were here, they'd come down in the summers, things like that. And I know people are, it seems like you're busier now, you're babysitting, you got things in the evenings, and I'm not saying this to guilt trip anybody and saying you need to have game nights. I'm just saying it's something that used to go on. And that's kind of what we're trying to do here. Just have a time of fellowship where people can get together and have that Christian fellowship. Now, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11, this is still on the negative here, but he says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So again, this is the last thought on things that we shouldn't have fellowship with. Now go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Kind of staying in the same general area here tonight for most of the references. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now you see what we're doing here tonight. Right now, we're not playing games. we're not out doing whatever, but we're having fellowship. You say, why? Because we have something in common. You know, common thoughts, common backgrounds, common histories, and we can have fellowship in that. And that's what fellowship is about, is having some of those things in common. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, God is faithful by whom ye were called, speaking to Christians, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, that's the first thing. Fellowship is two-dimensional, because first you have to have this fellowship right here before you can have this fellowship here, as far as Christian fellowship goes, okay, when I'm talking about Christian fellowship. You need to have that relationship with Jesus Christ first, and then you have something in common. I know I've said this before, but had I not become a Christian when I was 16, you know, looking around the room, there's probably not many of you I would know, even if I lived in Dillon. You know, maybe we'd pass in town or something, but I wouldn't hang around you probably. You wouldn't hang around me. That's for sure. You know, just different likes, dislikes. And that's how things work naturally. You got to find your people. You know, what you like. There's some people that like hunting, some that don't. All right? Sometimes we fellowship in hunting. We have a good time. Tom and I, we go out and we take people with us. And Joel sometimes go with us. And Matt and other people, we have fellowship in hunting. See, I'm not a hunter. Well, find people that like to do what you do. Gym people, you know, you go to the gym and you can have fellowship around working out. It can be a good time and things like that, but you find commonalities and you say, where do they start? Right here. This is where fellowship starts. It doesn't mean the fellowship has to take place at church, but this is a good place for it to start because you get to know one another, you get to know those things, you find people that have things in common with you. You know, not everybody's going to fellowship with Dean. Not everybody's going to fellowship with me or Bart or Matt or, you know, not everybody's going to click, and that's okay. I'm glad that we're not all, you know, a bunch of zombies doing the same thing, but we do have some things in common. You know, if you're saved in here, that's one thing, a big thing you have in common. That's what brings all of us together, is that relationship with Jesus Christ and the Bible. So that's one thing we have in common, but even beside that, you can find other things you have in common. But as you're going to see, you have to figure out what those things are. And in order to do that, you got to be together. And it starts at church. I know people say, well, we don't need to fellowship at church. You don't have to fellowship at church all the time or have fellowship at church to use it that way. But this is where it starts. This is where it should start, is right here. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. You're 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, then Philippians in chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, and look at verse 1. Paul says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, okay, so there's that commonality in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the what? The Spirit. I know Dean's used the testimony before where he said he's had people come into the rental, and he said there was just a connection there. Not that he even knew them. He had never met them before. And so he kind of stepped out on a limb and said, well, when did you trust Christ as your Savior? And they told him, you know, because there was that fellowship of the Spirit. Now, look, that's something that happens naturally. There was, you know, for lack of a better word, a bond there. Unexplainable, really, but it's like, yeah, there's something common here. There's, you know, we're of one mind or of one heart, and it's the fellowship of the Spirit that he describes here. That's the good, the right kind of fellowship. Look at chapter 3 and verse 10, Philippians 3:10. Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Now, Paul is talking about the sufferings that he went through enabled him to fellowship better with Jesus Christ. But it can work on this level as well. There's people that have gone through things that you have, and you can have fellowship in that. You know, people that have never had kids before, they don't understand what it's like to raise children, okay? I'm not saying they're stupid or anything like that, but, and Cassie and I were told the same thing, just wait till you have kids. It's like, yeah, okay, whatever. We're intelligent, we can handle this, but there's things you don't understand until you have raised children, and people that have gone through the same things, whether good or bad, you can have fellowship with them even through sufferings or through things that you've went through. And that's what makes this type of gathering a good thing, because you find like-minded people that have gone through, you know, this issue or this problem or something good here or this success, and you can fellowship through that. But Paul said here, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. So there's some things that we should fellowship in, that the Bible even shows us, as far as in the Spirit, we're called unto the fellowship of his dear Son, and we have the fellowship of his suffering. So it's some things in common. And you say, well, how do we do that? 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Turn back over there. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, as I said earlier, this is kind of where it starts, I believe, where fellowship should start. When we started out reading in Acts chapter 2, it was because of those that were being added to the church, and they were continuing in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayers and the things that they did together because they had that belief in Christ in common. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and look at verse 4. 2 Corinthians 8:4. He says, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Now here is people like Awana leaders. Believe it or not, you can fellowship in knowing what it's like to be an Awana leader. Okay, you understand that stress and anxiety and sometimes the fun and the different things that happen, that maybe if you're not an Awana leader, you don't understand that. That doesn't mean that you need to be an Awana leader. I'm saying that is one way to fellowship. They come and they spend, two, 3 hours here at Awana, and they fellowship in that because that's ministering. So ministry is one way to fellowship. You know, a lot of times when the preachers come and they get together and the preachers talk together because they understand each other. They have fellowship in the ministry. And he says that they should take upon them the ministry or ministering of the saints. So in ministry is one way you can have fellowship. Turn to Galatians chapter 2. You're in 2 Corinthians, then just go Galatians and chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. So it might take a little bit of work or research of getting to know somebody to find out if you have to, you know, have them over for dinner. Just visit with them, talk with them, whatever. Talk with them, come a little bit earlier to church and visit with people. Stay just 10 minutes later and visit with people. If you show up right as the service starts and you leave as soon as the service gets over, of course you're not going to have any fellowship. Well, I don't know anybody at church because we're there for 45. Come a little early, stay a little late, get to know some people and have that fellowship. You know, maybe you're not, again, you're not going to click with everybody, but so, okay, try somebody else or have somebody else over and find who you click with. Galatians chapter 2, and look at verse 9. Galatians 2:9, it says, and when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Now this was kind of surrounding ministry as well, but he said, when they perceived the grace that was given unto me, They said, you know what? That guy's a lot like us, just like Dean's testimony. And so they offered unto them the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. So they found something in common. You know, I was talking to a guy that, and not anybody that's here, and he said, you know, somebody wanted to come over to my house and say, hey, let's have a Bible study. Okay, that's good. He goes, but you know, he said, I know this is bad to say, but he said, that's not really my thing. Okay, I understand that. So let's find somebody that wants to do that. You know, for the one guy, find somebody that wants to study the Bible or talk about that. And if that's not your thing, then find some good thing that is your thing and get some fellowship in that. But you know what? If you don't show up and you're not here, you're not available, you're not even making the first attempt, then to say, well, there's no fellowship. Yeah, you know, you're kind of tripping over your own feet in that. Now turn over to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. You know, I've had all kinds of ideas, and I'm just going to throw some out there. Not that we have to do these. Maybe they're not even good ideas. But you know, there's some people in here that could use fellowship of others. What if a bunch of ladies got together and said, listen, we're going to babysit for all the single mothers and let single mothers go out in fellowship, or young mothers go out in fellowship, or, you know, elderly ladies get together, or just the ladies get together and go fellowship. You know, that's okay. You know, as long as it's not sinful, you're not out there and, you know, we have fellowship at men's prayer, and I'm sure the ladies do at the ladies' prayer meeting. Listen, not all the men come to men's prayer. And it's, you know, there's a core group and then some different guys, different weeks. And we have fellowship. We enjoy, we joke about things. We, you know, we talk about everybody else. No, I'm just kidding. We joke about each other, you know, and we rib each other. It's a good time. And even though it's a church function, we're coming together and we have fellowship. You know, and Joel's not here tonight. His family's in town. But when Joel suggested we do like the range day, you know, for the men's prayer, start out. We did it for the ladies as well. That was a good time. And even though it was instructional and really we had a purpose behind it, it was just a good time of fellowship about things that a lot of the men had in common. Not all men came, but some did. You know, it was an interest. It was something good. The ladies, not all the ladies went. You know, maybe that wasn't their thing. But that something like that, it's good to have. If you have ideas, say, hey, can we do this or should we do this? Just let us know. You know, it's not necessarily a bad thing to get together a little more often, and, you know, even around a church-type setting. But those were good times of fellowship, times that we had good fellowship around something that we had in common. 1 John chapter 1, and look at verse 1. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, with our eyes which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have what? Fellowship with us. So he's saying, listen, we preached it, we told you about the gospel, the word of eternal life. You say, why? So that we can have fellowship with us. You realize that was the very purpose that God sent Christ to die on the cross to pay for our sins? So he could have that fellowship that Adam and Eve lost in the garden. They fellowshiped with, and I'm using it as a verb, but they had fellowship with God in the garden until they sinned. And that fellowship was severed. And God, through the sacrifice of his son Jesus Christ, seeks to restore that fellowship with his creation. And they're saying, we give you the word of God that we can have fellowship. He said, verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship, he's saying, first of all, is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, with God, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So there's a commonality there of trying to walk in the light and trying to do right. And yes, we all have struggles and we fail and we fall down at times. But even in that, in our struggles, there's fellowship to be had in our struggles. And he says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Again, it starts right here. Walking in the light as he is in the light, around the word of life that we were talking about. So the fellowship doesn't always have to take place here, but it can start here and branch out from there. You can have people over to your house for dinner. You can go out and have coffee. You can, you know, whatever. There's hundreds of variables of things that you can do. Cassie suggested taking a group of ladies down to like the museum in Idaho Falls sometime or the zoo, just to go out and do something with the ladies. I'm not opposed to that. Those are things, and I know it doesn't always work out for everybody's schedule every time. I get that. But it's just taking that first step and having that fellowship with something in common, having a good time amongst one another. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, back to your left a little bit. Hebrews chapter 10. So again, the prerequisite for all of this is not necessarily where it takes place, but regardless, in order to have fellowship, you have to be together with other people, okay? One person can have fellowship with the Lord, you know, but you're together with the Lord. But if we're gonna have fellowship as Christians, you gotta be together with other Christians. Whether it's at your home, in the coffee shop, you know, wherever it might be, you gotta be together. So if you're a hermit, don't be, okay? That's all I can say. You know, even guys that are hermits, Dean, Alan, something. I know you work, but listen. Alan has fellowship with other long guys because that's something they have in common. They can talk about, you know, problem customers, people that have worked in, you know, public arena. You fellowship with other people that have worked that way because that's something you have in common. People that have worked with youth, people that, whatever, you can have those things in common. Just find those people and have that fellowship. And it might mean that you got to get out of your comfort zone and say, hey, do you want to take an hour out of your schedule? And I know everybody has a busy schedule. But 168 hours in a week, that's total. Do you think you can carve out 1 hour a week and do the rest of your stuff in the 167 hours you have left? Say, listen, let's get together 1 hour a week. Just go to coffee, just visit, maybe study the Bible. It doesn't have to be around something spiritual necessarily. But say, hey, I want to get to know you better. We've gone to church together for 30 years and I don't even know who you are. You know, that happens. But, you know, just take a step and say, listen, invite somebody over you've never had over before. Or invite somebody over if you've never done that before. It's okay. It's not that scary. You know, Cassie's the social one in our family. And she always likes to have people over. And I was never that way. You know, not for a long time. And then we started having, you know, 5 people, 10 people over on Sundays. And I enjoyed it. You know, I was always like, you know, it's my Sunday afternoon. I want to have my Sunday afternoon. But you know, when you sacrifice that for fellowship, it's pretty enjoyable. It's a good time. I mean, even through COVID, all the stuff, and we had lots of good times. Hey, sometimes it gets pretty crazy. We'd play games, things like that, and just spend the afternoon together. Look, just give up your nap. It's okay. You know, it's all right. You'll live. Hebrews chapter 10, and look at verse 24. Hebrews 10 and verse 24. Common verse here. It says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. How are you going to do that if you're not together? If you're not gathering somewhere? And that's why it says in verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now that doesn't mean that when we go over here to play games that you got to stay till the last hour. You know, I understand that. You got to work tomorrow. I get all that. But just come, visit, stay, you know, just have some fun. You got to be together. It starts there. There has to be a gathering together. Look at Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs all the way in the middle of the Bible there. Proverbs chapter 27. And I've been to Alan's house before. He's not a grump. It's okay. You probably should get his permission first. Or Dean or any of us. Proverbs chapter 27. And look at verse 17. It says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. That can be done in fellowship. But how are you going to sharpen the countenance of your friend? It's not going to be over Facebook. It's not going to necessarily be through a text. Oh, you can text people and encourage them. I get that. But they didn't have all that when Proverbs was written. It was demanded that they If you're gonna bear one another's burdens, like it says in Galatians chapter 6, if you're gonna sharpen the countenance of your friend, if you're gonna consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, they had to be together. There had to be a face-to-face meeting. There had to be a time where they were gathered together. And that's why he said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. You realize it was far more important, if I can put it that way, back when Hebrews was written, because they didn't have other communication forms. They couldn't call somebody on the phone. They couldn't text them or send them an email. The times that they provoked one another, they encouraged one another, they sharpened their countenance, is when they got together. And that's why you see in the New Testament church, man, they were having church like every day sometimes. And that's why Paul was long preaching, up until midnight when Eutychus fell out of the window and all of that. It's because that was their time to get together and have that time of fellowship. Now turn over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Just a couple more verses and I'll be done. Romans chapter 12. So fellowshipping, if we can kind of sum it up, it can and should probably start here. This is where you start to know somebody. The introductions are made. You get to know them. You can invite them over to your house. Doesn't mean the fellowship has to take place here. In fact, on some level, I recommend it doesn't. You shouldn't take somebody's time and say, hey, let's sit and talk for 45 minutes after church. It's probably not the right thing to do. Come to church early and talk to them or have them over something like that. But it can start here where introductions are made. That's how I met my wife, was at church. Cassie and I probably would not have met had it not been for church. How many of you met your spouse at church? This church or some other? Okay, a few of you. All right. Now, how many of you, a lot of the friends you have now, you met at church or the people you do stuff with? Okay, more hands there. And that's where it starts, is right here. Now, that doesn't mean, again, that everything has to take place here. It can take place, it can grow, it can get bigger in fellowship out there, but this is where it starts. And that's just one of the many reasons why church is important for us today, because it's that root of fellowship. Now, Romans chapter 12, and look at verse 10. Romans 12 and verse 10. Now, look at verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. That's not hypocritical, not partial. But let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. How do you do that if you're not together? Preferring one another, being kindly affectioned one to another. I can love at a distance. No, I get that. But listen, we need to be together. Get to know each other. Turn to 1 Peter 4 and we'll finish up. 1 Peter 4. Hebrews, James, and then 1 Peter. 1 Peter 4, and look at verse 9. 1 Peter 4, 9. Well, look at verse 8. First of all, it says, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Well, I don't click with so-and-so because of XYZ. Have some charity. Have some grace, have some love toward them. It'll cover a multitude of sins, help you to get to know them and realize that they're probably just like you. So he says, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Verse 9, he says, use, what's that next word? Hospitality, one to another, without grudging. It's almost like, yeah, I got hospitality, God, but I don't want to use it for them. I don't want to use it for him or for her. That's using hospitality with grudging. You know, you ought to be like, hey, just come on in and use hospitality without grudging. That's the way I was. It's like, yeah, I know. We're supposed to be given to hospitality, but I don't really like that. That's grudgingly. We're not to be that way. We're to use hospitality without grudging. And then you can develop that relationship. You can have fellowship. And it comes naturally by, not forced, but by the grace of God. And you get it closer, and you come together more like a family. And that's, I think, what the core or the crux of fellowship is. Getting together, getting to know one another. Yes, maybe being a little uncomfortable at times, but that's okay. That's all right. I remember when I first moved here, when I was 18, and people would have me over for dinner. I didn't like that. You say, why? Because it's uncomfortable. I don't know them, or, it's either the preacher, I don't want to go over to the preacher's house, or, well, he's a Sunday school teacher, I want to go to heaven. It's okay, they're people. They're ordinary people. You know, there's nothing weird or you know, spooky about them, hopefully. but get to know them and just start that fellowship. Let's pray. Lord, help us by your grace to have good fellowship in the Spirit of Christ, Lord, in ministry and the things that we do have in common. Lord, help us to love one another, to encourage one another, to provoke one another unto love and good works. And God, all in fellowship. And just help us to learn more about what that fellowship means through your Spirit and with your Son. In his name we pray. Amen. Let's sing page 460. That's a pretty suitable song. Page 460. 460.